Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben. I'm here with Dylan and Brian to talk about episode number 8 of Survivor 46. And it's a wild episode, wild tribal council, wild result. And, you know, we have our winner pick game that we play here on this podcast, mostly for fun. I mean, sort of minor bragging rights. And at the end of this episode, we have our winner of the season of the three of us, and that would be Brian, whose winner pick is the only person left in the game. He tried really hard to not be, but
he did everything he could to sabotage it for me. Yeah, Q having me pull what little hair I have left on my head right now out last night. What a horrible, horrible night for our winner picks remaining in the game. I don't understand Q at all. I thought I did. I really don't anymore. It is very funny that everyone was just like, well, no, we don't want to vote you off, so like that's not gonna happen. But like, I don't know, the whole like falling on the sword thing is so lame to me. Like, oh, I messed up other people's games, you can vote me off. Like, I don't know, just like fucking try to win the game. I don't know, you're already there, you're like more than halfway through, you know.
Mm-hmm. I choose to believe that there was some sort of method behind the madness for Q there.
I'm sure he'll tell us about it in the first confessional in the next episode.
I'm not quite sure there was. I don't know if it's him trying to cause confusion and flush out idols. Once again, I'm giving him maybe perhaps way too much credit, but pull votes off of Tevin. But I think, I don't know, maybe once he finally realized that it wasn't going to work, he just went with the flow. I don't know. That's the only rationale behind it. I really appreciate Ben calling it out for how stupid it was during Tribal 2. How stupid this all was, which I agree. It was very entertaining, though. It was like one of the few like live tribals I actually enjoyed watching.
It was one of the few live tribals where it's like, I can like let it go. Like, you know me, I'm usually very like, oh my god, guys, you had all day like to figure it out. Like, only when it's extenuating circumstances, like the original live tribal where it's two separate tribes coming, and then it's like, yeah, of course they're gonna be like trying to strategize, or like, you know, also involving Malcolm, although it wasn't quite when Malcolm had two immunity idols. I was like, okay, this like changes everything. That's like this one where like Q doing this, that really does throw a wrench into things, because like, well, I know what I want, but what does everybody else want? What is everyone else going to do? So I can totally forgive them having a live tribal council in this. Can't really forgive Q for causing this, though.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was a player on that game right now, I would be completely, completely done with Q. He has maybe even potentially flipped roles with Venus at this point, of being someone that maybe you just tag along because you know that they have like no chance of winning the game. Because I think after that night, I can officially put Q on the list of people that will not win this game.
Yeah, why would anybody vote for him? Like, the whole jury's there. Soda's on the jury. She's watching. Like, everyone else who's going to be on the jury is there. Like, they'd be like, I don't know, man. You wanted to quit like at the final 10. So like, why would I vote for you to win? You know?
Yeah, I think I agree with the live tribal comment as well. Like, I think that the big issue with live tribals is when they're contrived and they just kind of feel like people are having them just to have them, when it doesn't really actually affect anything. It's just, you know, pretending to confirm a plan that everyone's already on board with. And yeah, I'm fine with this. Like, this was like, you know, this was a reasonable consequence for the actions that you took. And yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I definitely think he's going to come in the next confession and be like, yeah, it was all a huge plan. Like, he has all the previous times he threatened to quit. And when he like said that he threw a challenge that I'm fairly certain he didn't throw. So I think that's just kind of his MO, is like retroactively justifying mistakes and like weird things that he does to like try to make himself look better. So yeah, I don't know. I agree. Q is not winning the season. Before this, he was like a borderline cartoonish villain in the edit. And so it was going to be like a tough sell for me to believe he could win regardless. But yeah, no, at this point, there's no way. Like, I think honestly, at this point, the winner is between Tiff and Kenzie or Charlie and Maria. I don't really think anyone else can win, but I've been proven wrong before.
He may be, because I made the comparison that he reminds me a lot of Coach, which he still does, but he may be like a less self-aware version of Coach when Coach's first playthrough on Token Genes. Like, he's like, I don't know. I really don't know. I didn't watch the trailers for this week going into it, and I know they had built it up like it was like you had like a must-watch tribal or whatever it was. I was so taken aback and so confused when all that started happening. It was like it felt like a fever dream of like, because it's the second time he tried to do that this season, and it's just I don't know. I'm really glad Q is still around though for entertainment purposes, but I am very bummed about Tevin. I know we talk about it like all the time whenever someone that's even like remotely good gets voted off, that I hope to see them come back again. Tevin's definitely won. But also it showed he pulled his move too early with Soda, and this is what happens. So I texted you guys last night. I hated Liz for eliminating Tevin because Tevin was my winner's pick, but at the same time, I think Liz maybe had the best night of everybody else on the tribe. Venus somehow like is up there again for me, even beyond the villain status. I still really like Venus a lot, and like I said, I think I put Q now below Venus for people that in position they're on the island right now. But yeah, kudos to somebody that was basically out of this game until last night in terms of like involvement. So I guess it's nice to see that.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciated her. One, like being aware of where she was in it and kind of being like, well, I'd rather lose trying to do something, because like it's never fun to just see these people kind of like coast and then it gets to like, oh, I'm the next person getting voted off, and then they try to do something. Like I very much appreciate that she like, one, was honest and being like, I feel like I'm making these moves, no one else is feeling like I am, so like I need to do something different. And two, being willing to like put herself out there, and potentially it could have come back on her, who knows. Like, it's a new era, crazy things happen, people get targeted out of nowhere, Nami's disappearing quickly, what's that, not three in a row, but three out of four since the Mergatory have been Nami's, so like, not great.
Well, I think they've only lost two because random was meta back.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
They've only lost now two in a row, Soda and Tevin.
Yes, you're right.
But regardless, we're at a 3-3-3 split.
No, because Mariah, right?
No, Mariah was Sega.
Oh, Mariah was Sega. Liz was.
No, Liz was. The three remaining Namis are Hunter, Venus, and Liz.
Oh my God, I mixed up Mariah and Liz. Mm-hmm. Embarrassing.
Yeah, it's 3-3-3 now, which goes to show how useless challenges are. They're completely pointless.
Yeah. Doesn't matter at all.
Especially now, I think the Hunter's this might be a situation where Hunter wins out, unless it's a strictly puzzle. And even then, Hunter might be strong. This might be a situation where Hunter wins out to final, whatever, four. When's the last time he's gonna be able to use that? Five, maybe.
Five.
So I think Hunter potentially is a lock for final five.
Yeah. How'd you guys feel about him not only winning this challenge, but then going backwards over to just like really show everybody like, oh, if winning the challenge wasn't enough of the threat, like look at me doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this season, what they've done right, and I think why the season is working really well, is like we complained last season about how there was a lot of bad players, but the re before, for the most part, were pretty solid. This season, they were like, okay, we're going to cast 18 people who are fucking awful at Survivor and just like see what happens.
Love it. Also, great. Keep doing it, please.
Yeah.
It's funny because like I've said, I was on the fringe of being out on this season, like two or three episodes in, And it's just, I think now it might be my favorite season. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. It might be my favorite season in the new seasons.
Yeah, I hope it stays as messy. And then, like, if it does, I'll be right there with you, Dylan. Like, what more? I mean, very famously, my favorite season is Gabon. So, like, this speaks to me as a Survivor fan.
I agree. And no, even so far, like, it, as long as, like, this the rest of the season doesn't completely flop, this is, like, by far going to be my favorite of the new era.
It's just, like, I don't see, like, a clear path for any of these players because there's just too many, like, people who are unpredictable and, like, people who are, like, very self-interested and... You know, like, I don't know what Q's going to do. I don't know what Venus is going to do. I don't know what Liz is going to do, but I'm very excited to see it happen.
Speaking of Hunter, I always think of Hunter too, is that if I'm Hunter, why in God's name would I even want to try working with Q after this week?
Q was at least on his side up until the tribal council where he was like, I think if Hunter was like, okay, yeah, like I'll just vote for Tevin with you. I don't think Q does this. Because Q was bringing up some good points and just being like, listen, man, like I know you're close with Tevin, but everyone's voting for him. So there's no point for me and you to not vote for him. Like, I think that's fair.
Is that how you took what he was saying? Q to Hunter on the beach.
Yeah, when they were on the beach together. Because then Hunter's like, oh, I'm going to try to like talk to people. And Q is mad because he was like, there's nothing to talk about. They've made up their mind.
I for some reason, took it differently for whatever reason. I took it more of like Q was like I am going into panic mode now at this point. And I thought Hunter was trying to like calm him down, being like, no, we're gonna be fine. But I guess that
makes sense. I mean, long term, he was probably like freaking out for sure.
Also, it would have been insane to do it, but like props to Hunter for not playing his idol for
time. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. It's like, is it worth it? Like Tevin one is already 100% with Hunter, but if he did that, then there'd be like no way he would go against him. Probably, I mean, maybe that's an old school way of looking at it. Maybe he would, you know, but who knows with new school players. But in my mind, like similar to like Jeremy and Fishback, where like when Jeremy played that idol for Fishback, I was like, this bond's like completely unbreakable now. I feel like that would be the case. But like, where do you go from there? Right?
They'd be
like,
right there, right back there the following week.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think about like the Emily and Caleb move though, of like telling him to play the shot in the dark? Instead of like letting him be blindsided,
he should have done that. Yeah,
I think then it kind of gets a situation where like Tevin might be like incentivized to throw Hunter under the bus because Hunter's not going to use his idol on him, and then be like, "Hey, everybody, Hunter has." Well, actually, no, Tevin doesn't know Hunter has an idol, right?
And Hunter has immunity. So.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, I mean, just like kind of long term, I guess. Never mind. Actually, no, it's definitely correct, I think, for Hunter.
I don't think anybody knows Hunter as an idol, right?
No.
I think so. Another props. Hunter's somebody I have a hard time seeing win the season. Just in terms of like the path that he now has set forward, where he's the obvious brute that you want out for challenge reasons at this point. Somebody that seemingly has no alliance. But the fact that he has an idol that apparently nobody will know about, my biggest fear is that next week he is going to start flexing that around, which it will kind of like ruin any sort of power he'll have other than not being voted out with that. But
it's so funny how like if Q could just not be Q and just like be chill, he would be in a great spot because Hunter's taking all the challenge heat off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just be able to like, you know, similar to like Tony using Spencer as like the shield to like absorb, you know, all the heat off of him. Jeremy with his meat shield strategy, like it would be so good, but he's just not that type of player.
Yeah. So I want to hear your thoughts because my read on what was going through Q's mind was basically he put all of this social work into setting up this blindside on Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
And in part of that, he revealed that she had an idol to Maria and, like, by extension, Charlie.
Right.
And then the blindside was basically called off and moved to Tevin after that, after they already put all these, like, you know, pieces on the board. So was he basically like, I've now screwed over Tiffany and she's staying in the game and she's probably going to find out that I tried to screw her over. And he was like, okay, I have no exit strategy here. Let me just quit.
It's possible.
I don't think he was really trying to quit. I generally don't. I think that he, in his mind, was playing, you know, the ultimate game of mind games with everybody. I genuinely don't think that he was trying to quit.
So what was the play then? Like, for him to try to flip it back on Tiff?
That's, like, part of the insanity of it, is that I can't, like, reason out. I can't reason out what he was thinking, but I just don't think that in his mind he was thinking to quit. I think he was either trying to pull votes off of Tevin, or like just purely create chaos and hope idols are flushed. That's my reasoning. But Q on that island right now is as close as we have to a madman. And so I can't like reason with what his state of mind is at that point. I really have no idea. I just generally don't think that the Q that we've seen to that point would actually want to be voted out. Like, I would buy Coach. If Coach was somebody that said, like, hey, I'm going to purposely just out of this the whole thing of honor, like, I would much rather appear to be this honorable dude on TV rather than being this villain, the snake. Vote me out because I clearly betrayed my alliance. I have no idea. But I just generally don't think that he wanted to get himself voted out.
I mean, he's done this before, though, right? So I don't know. Like, he did it before, and then he also, like, has walked it back and been like, oh, no, it's actually a strategy. So it's like,
He might be a little bit of a front runner, where it's like, when stuff's going good, like, it's awesome in a good mood, and then when it's going bad, it's just like, it's over. Get rid of me.
I think,
yeah,
I wonder. I don't remember if my brother sends or you guys send to me, but I think when Jeff on Entertainment Weekly today also said that he generally did not think that Q was trying to leave the game. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying Jeff is like the end all be all, but I tend to agree with him on that. But I really don't know, because I can't put up like a intelligent reason as to why he went with that way. I know the popular internet meme right now is that he's perfected the Zane gameplay of what was going on there, but I don't know. I think either he was trying to flush an idol, hopefully create chaos. I generally have no idea.
I think Q knows for sure what he was trying to do either, but I think if you asked him, he wouldn't give you like a direct answer about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this kind of segues. This kind of segues into like the hide and seek segment, right? Which is the episode is named after, because I guess that kind of elucidates a little bit of how Q views the game and strategy, because he said a lot of things in confessionals during that segment that didn't really make a lot of logical sense. And to the point where, again, it was like very meme worthy, where, you know, it reminded me of the like meme from Parks and Rec. You overcooked chicken to jail, undercooked fish to jail. Yep.
Saw the, I don't know if you, it was like kind of an old meme, but it was the big mistake, like M-I-S-S, you know, steak, like dressed like a woman. It was like Q during the hide and seek game, just big steak every time.
The one I saw at the scene of him saying like, congrats, Ben and Hunter, you won hide and seek, and then it cut to like the Michael Jordan meme, and it put Q's face in him being like, and I took that personally. I don't know. Q was so entertaining though, but like I said, I think trying to reason or put a method to what he's doing right now is just kind of pointless, because I think that maybe he is like I said, he is the definition of a wild card at this point. Like I think he maybe went into that tribal with no intention of doing that, and the thought came into his mind like 5 seconds before he said it, and then he kind of just went from there. I've been in that situation where you sometimes just got to snowball and spiral with a thought until it starts to make sense, or you look like a fool. And I think maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, one of a kind. But yeah, this hide and seek, I guess, was fun. You know, Hunter being in the tree just kind of foreshadowed him winning the challenge. That's fun that it worked out that way. I think everyone hid fine. I mean, I'll be honest, I wouldn't particularly want to be involved in this if I were on Survivor. I would do it if everyone else is doing it, but like, I'm gonna climb into a bush. Like, there are definitely spiders and bugs in there. I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah. I would, I'd probably be like the Tiffany where like, I just kind of like meekly, like, you know, hide behind some tall grass,
yep,
with, like, you know, very bright colors on me. Yeah. As Q said though, yeah, that means that I don't have an eye for what did he say? Like, don't have an eye for like the finer detail or something like that.
Yeah. So cause you have the red buff on.
The red buff on the green grass.
Okay. Oh man.
One question that popped up that I want to ask earlier, do you think that if Q never told Maria and Charlie about Tiffany's idol, that he would have been able to pull off the Tiffany vote out?
I think it's more possible. But I guess it really depends on if they wanted to go with Liz's plan or, you know. Who do they see as a bigger threat?
Because
near Tevin.
The other part of like why Liz doing that was both the incredibly right move and very smart is because, and it could be just because maybe the viewers weren't reading it like the players were, of that the second she said that, everybody jumped on board for it. There was no like pushback or anything. There was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, this is the right move. Because I think a lot of people liked Tevin, but I think in that moment it was a very clear like, oh yeah, this is 100% the right move comparatively. Also, if Tiff has a idol, then I risk getting voted out, especially Maria, who was the target of Tiff before that. So that's why I asked too, because I really do wonder if Tiff and Charlie would have went along, or if Maria and Charlie would have went along with that vote had they had no knowledge of the of the idol.
Yeah, it's really interesting too that like, Both of these tribes targeted each other, and there's a secret scene. Maria was like being pretty mean to Ben, like straight up being like, what, because Tim got voted off, and then she was like, well, just because like your boy's out doesn't mean like you can just come back to Charlie and I and think that things are all good. And like, I know you have an idol, and Ben is like, I really don't, like, I don't know how to convince you. So I'm surprised that didn't make the edit. I think if it did, though, that would be like 100% Maria's not going to win, because it was like very out of its way for like showing her to be like very cocky and arrogant about her reads that are just so wrong. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you after the episode. But yeah, it was a weird scene that you don't get that at all from the show, that Maria's like dissatisfied with Ben and like doesn't like him very much. I mean, Maria, you had a wide open shot to vote him off a few episodes ago and you decided not to. But yeah, it's very interesting that all of these tribes are seemingly like just going at each other in some way.
Yeah, I don't even know how I would describe the current structure of like these nine people, because like if that's the case, then you would assume Ben's probably more tied to Tiff and Kenzie at this point,
right?
And then like Q is kind of with them, but also now pulling this is probably going to get a little bit socially isolated, and then you have this like six that isn't really a six, that has only, the only accomplishments of the six so far has been like voting out their own members and like replacing them, because like, you know, they voted out Tim and they're like, oh Charlie, we're gonna recruit you into the six person alliance that already exists to replace this member that we just voted out within this alliance.
Yeah,
and Charlie's like, I don't know about that.
is that alliance one of the worst alliances of all time, of the first two chances that they've been?
They're not doing anything good, that's for sure.
And the other one basically completely ostracized himself for everybody else. Because I think it's very interesting, too, because Liz and Tevin voting out Soda in the moment seemed like an okay move. Clearly now it wasn't, at least for Tevin. But also now with Liz, Liz is kind of, I don't know where Liz, because I don't think Q willingly wants to work with Liz anymore, because she kind of, Liz kind of took the show over from Q, which as we know, he takes that very personally. But then also now we have Maria and Charlie on one side together. And then we have Mackenzie and Tiff on the other side with apparently with Ben. And I think Hunter is kind of a one-man army at this point by himself. And I think Q is a captain with no ship really at this point. So I think like Liz
Venus for, you know,
and Venus, poor Venus. I keep forgetting her. Also, I feel bad. I sent you guys that picture. She's like not taking her portrayal.
So she deactivated also.
That sucks. So anybody that missed it, she's like, she just said that she doesn't like the portrayal that she's gotten. She doesn't feel good about herself, that she's being made to look like an idiot and that nobody likes her and she wants to just go away, which that's sad. Especially
for Jake and Owen need to reach out to her and be like, hey, it's not all bad. Like, yes, sucks to go on the show and not be taken seriously at all, but like, you know, if you lean into it, people appreciate it.
Hey, look, I'll say this. Venus has had more agency through 8 episodes than Jake and Owen through 2 seasons combined had.
But yeah, she's at least voting right at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel bad about that. But anyway, so I think Venus and Liz have kind of turned themselves into swing votes for the next, like, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, which maybe keeps them alive. But there are 2 people I don't see winning. Venus, like, I agree. I think Venus is playing a much better game than she's getting credit for. She's not playing the best game of the season, but she's playing a game that she is not getting the proper credit for with viewers and on the show. But I think it's because people, like we see every season, there's always one person that everybody seems to just turn their hatred towards. And it seems to always be a young woman, unfortunately. Like, what was the name of the girl on Token Jeans that everybody just bullied? Yeah.
That was so
literally funny. No reason. That one was probably the worst. That's way worse than what Venus is getting at this point. But mm-hmm. That one was probably the worst of the worst that I've seen. But I don't know. I think Liz and Venus at this point, I mean, through no fault of their own, I think they've basically just been jumping from one direction to another, but their position really has not changed at all. If anybody is in the best spot that they have been in yet in the show, it's probably Maria and Charlie. Although that's a really interesting thing that you bring up, Ryan, of everything with Ben. What did Ben do to go against Maria? That's what I'm trying
Maria
to think.
Maria thought that he had an idol and wasn't being truthful about it, which he doesn't. And then felt like he and Tim were really close. And then when Tim got voted off, he tried to go back to Charlie and Maria. And she didn't appreciate that, which is super weird to me. But
didn't Tim be the one to want to bring Maria into the 6 to begin with?
Yeah, which I don't understand that, because it does seem that Ben and Tim were really close.
Yeah,
so I really don't understand why Tim was like, Maria's my plus one. Maybe I don't understand it at all, actually.
Yeah, I gotta watch that clip, because that's interesting, because then obviously not including that on a meta reason, it is it's very curious, because that would be if I saw that in the show, I'd be like, I who is this person?
Well, yeah, and it was especially bad because she was very confident in her wrongness.
Yeah,
which is never a good spot to be.
Yeah, no, I do agree though, from what we've seen, that I think Charlie as an individual is probably in the best spot for my opinion. I think
out of everyone,
I think out of everyone, yeah. I think having an idol maybe puts Tiff pretty close, especially if Kenzie has Ben firmly locked down, which is kind of up in the air for me. But the way that people perceive Charlie, and it was shown in this episode a lot as well, when during the segment of being brought into this Journey 6 alliance, it's very perplexing. I've seen people say, is him being a Taylor Swift fan the reason that people are so disarmed by him and don't take him seriously, when he's clearly a really he's a Harvard Law student, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, You can't be like, oh, he's just like a puppy dog that's getting dragged around. He's not gonna, he doesn't have the killer instinct to take us out when he needs to. It's like, are you sure? He's like a big fan and he's like clearly very smart. Like, I don't know why people are writing him off so much in the game.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I do feel bad for him because, like, I feel like he probably went to the Eris tour like right before he went onto the island, and it was like very fresh in his mind. And even now, it's like, okay, like, we're a little bit over. Taylor Swift is like, you know, she got very overexposed with dating Travis Kelce and being on TV all the time, you know. It's going to, like, suck in, like, 5 years, 10 years, when, like, oh, unless he wins, I guess. But even if he does, it's going to be like, Charlie, that was the guy who's, like, weirdly into Taylor Swift, right? And, like, I feel like he probably isn't as into Taylor Swift as he's portrayed. I would just hate to have like a snapshot of myself of whatever I was hyper fixating on in the moment be like immortalized, you know.
I do wonder too if it's like, if it's it's very what's the word I'm looking for, it's opportune editing time for them when Taylor Swift is arguably the biggest she's ever been right now, to just like, maybe these are normally lines that they would throw away in other seasons. Not I'm saying there's like Swifties in every season that are just talking to Taylor Swift, but no, I wonder if it's just selective editing just to keep including those. Did see that he ran the Boston Marathon this past week. So
yeah, he's multi-dimensional. Yeah, this reminded me of something else in the Boston Marathon. I'll talk about it later. But there's another social media star who ran the Boston Marathon. I don't know if you guys have seen him. Ben, I was the one who was like, we should get this guy to play Reaper.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, it's just, you know, I just feel a little bad for Charlie that way, but maybe he'll win $1 million and it won't matter. Yeah.
I don't feel bad because what if he is a big Taylor Swift fan? Because I have three daughters and a wife, and they're all Taylor Swift people. People that love Taylor Swift don't shut up about Taylor Swift. So I believe maybe that he is a real Taylor Swift
fan. He definitely is. Like, you can't not, like, there's no way he's
a huge fan.
Yeah, when you can name 150 songs off the top of your dome when you're starving for 3 weeks. Like obviously he's a big fan. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to deduce how he's being perceived by the other players. Because it doesn't like line up with logic for me. Maybe it's just like the other players are dumb, right? That could be a very straightforward explanation. But I think that like him being a Taylor Swift fan could just be disarming.
Based on the things we just talked about, I think there's a high possibility of that they're just dumb.
Yeah. He's a... right. Yeah, he's like Spencer without like the like, oh, this guy's really smart and strategic, like no one's giving that read on him, but he is also very smart and strategic. So
he's like Spencer with none of the baggage and like with emotional intelligence.
I really like right. that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like that Spencer comparison because I didn't even put that together until now. I like that.
Well, I was worried for him when he was on the Green Tribe. I was like, oh, the people are gonna like look at him and be like, this is the new Spencer. Mm-hmm. But you know, that didn't happen at all.
What's Spencer's new name now?
It's Reman.
Yeah, he had a new podcast out. I listened to some of it today. Yeah, he's very new age. Which, you know, good for him. Yeah, as long as he's happy, right?
I love Spencer. I pray to the Survivor gods that the same Survivor gods that curse Bonu, that he is he comes back and plays one more season. I don't think he will.
I'll say, Ben, we met him once in that limit time. Very nice. So, yeah, that's all I can say.
Yeah, he was fine. He was pleasant. I didn't really interact too much with him. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to oversell it.
But yeah, no, I that's kind of my take right now. Like reading the situation on like in the game right now is very, very difficult, especially after that crazy tribal and like with the way everything's kind of split up into like duos and like kind of loose groupings, and where this like supposed majority alliance isn't actually like operating how a majority alliance would traditionally operate. So like it's hard to really strategically map out what's going to happen. But for me, just like making individual assessments, I think that, yeah, Charlie's in the best spot. And I'm like kind of perplexed as to how he's like been able to get away with being in that spot for so long with really no heat.
Yeah. I mean, Tiffany, through no fault of her own, you know, she would have been like you said, she's still in a good spot, but then had her game, you know, a little blown up by Q for no fucking reason. But yeah, should be interesting to see. I think we're in for a very messy but potentially very fun ending here. Oh, also, why didn't Jeff stab the rice bag? This was like the opportunity. Like, you can't do it after people have seen it. You have to do the surprise, and you have the back-to-back seasons. You got to take advantage of that and stab the rice bag, especially when no one's getting out of line.
Mm-hmm. My read on that is, I think that he just, I think he very quickly realized that they were never going to get to four.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, let's just get this over with. When I'm not going to stand here and watch this rice bag, you know, drain out for a minute and a half or however long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or Liz hasn't been able to eat anything.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny though that the two people who tried to step out of the challenge were the first two out. So at least they had good reads on their ability.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. I come out there, I see that challenge, I'm also stepping out for rice. Like, are you kidding? I'm not lasting. Like, I've thought about this a lot. Like, ever since Andrea fell off the top of this challenge, like, the very first thing I'm doing if I have to play in this challenge is going to that bottom rung. Because, like, I'm not going to win it. And I'm not going to fall and hurt myself either. You know?
I think they should have took the rice. I agree with Q.
I agree, too. Like, especially when Hunter was already in a tree for, like, presumably a very long time. You know? Like, I don't know.
I get not wanting to do it, but obviously, hindsight 2020 should have.
Yeah, it is a classic. Sure, there's something about wanting to compete in a Survivor Classic, but like, I don't know. I just feel like there's just no shot if you're like not, you know, thin. This challenge.
That's the other thing, is that I would probably almost certainly be the first person out if I would go and do that.
Right.
But like, that's another point too, is that I am on Survivor. I want to play Survivor. I'm not backing out, even if I think it's the right choice for like rice. I'm not. Like I think maybe that's others' mindset of like, I'm here playing Survivor. I'm most likely probably never ever going to be back here again. Why would I sit this challenge out for rice? Like, I don't think it earns you, in what we've seen previously, I don't think it earns you any sort of brownie points down the road. I think maybe in the moment it does. People pat you on the back, but I don't think anybody's going to tribal to say this person decided to step up. Maybe Q would. He'd be like, that's exactly what I was looking for, was whoever accepted the rice. I knew I was going to the end with.
But right,
like,
yeah.
I don't think that most people are going to like take that into a vote, into consideration. I think on like a human level maybe, but not on a game level. And so I'm playing that even if I'm falling off after the first like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think I'd get it more if it was the like what's it called? The arm bucket challenge where you can like be like, maybe I can win it if I just like, yeah, when it rains, like maybe I can win it if I'm just tough enough. I think this challenge is just like, at a certain point, you just cannot win this challenge if you're like a certain body type. And you know, that's not me. Also, like my approach to merge challenges would just be to like throw everything unless I like absolutely have to win it, because like it does happen where people get labeled a threat if you win one or two of these, you know.
They used to.
I've kind of gone back and forth on this. I think like if you're in a good enough social spot, it doesn't really matter. Like I think Dee last season is like a really good example where she was winning like a good amount of challenges. And
yeah,
well, people weren't really like looking at her because she was in such a good social strategic spot. So I don't know. I used to have that opinion where it was like, definitely like throw challenges you don't have to win. But like, I don't know. You never know what's going to happen when you get back to camp. Like, I don't think Tiffany ever expected to have her name be on the chopping block.
That's true. The new era has changed things.
Every season that they've seen recently, the final challenges always come down to the ball and the thing going down for the final challenge, and that is some athletic feat, but like it's way more of a mind game at that point than it is a physical game. So I think I think it's changed a lot now too. Of like, sure, they're gonna want to get Hunter out if he keeps winning, but I don't think anybody is like, he is going to win this game if he keeps winning type scenario. So, and to what Ben said, if they have the social game, the people are gonna be way more worried about the social game than they are the physical game. And obviously, in Dee's situation, her social game was so good that nobody was apparently worried about anything with her. So.
Yeah, I agree. And for me in this challenge, like I have like probably like a similar body type to Charlie, I would say. And so like he's probably more fit than I am. Yeah, so like I think that I probably would not step out. Because it was like one of the few challenges I think I could actually win.
who was the Giants fan from David versus Goliath? I think that was more of my body type was that gentleman.
The guy who got hurt.
Having like the panic attack or whatever happened.
No, he hurt his back.
Like, that's what his back. Yeah. As somebody has also had back issues, I'm way more of a Pat body type. And I don't think that him and I would do very well in that challenge.
No, I don't. I don't think he would have done well in that for sure. I don't know. I would have taken the food, but I get it. Like you guys said, I get it. If you're there, you want to compete.
It's also like it's a double-edged sword too, because if you are a big fellow and you just opt for the food in that scenario rather than getting up on that pole, people are immediately going to be like, "Oh, fatty wanted the food." So that's like my mental worry would be sitting there like, "Oh my starving. God, I'm starving, but people are going to judge me so hard. My friends are going to roast me. I'm getting on that pole."
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I feel like most people would really understand. Like we said, like it's basically one body type that can win this challenge, and it's like people who have a really high strength to weight ratio.
Do they take ladders? Ladders up there. Okay, ladders. So that's like my other thing. And is it like immediately after they get you up there, they start the challenge? Because that's the other thing too. Is that if you're up there and you're already holding on for like 5 minutes while everybody else is getting up to the top of the thing, that sucks.
Yeah, right.
No, I think it's basically like within like 10 seconds.
Yeah, like everybody gets up on a ladder, the crew runs away with the ladders and then they start going. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just make a joke and just be like, smart man told me about how elephants can't climb palm trees, and for that reason I can't play this one, Jeff, sorry. Somewhat deep cut. I don't know. That felt like a big moment to me back in the day.
Mm-hmm. But, that was about standing on like a piece of square, like a square area that was getting like,
Well, it was no, it was smaller. A challenge, wasn't it?
No, it was they were standing on top of a pole over the water, and it was like a contraption where like the square they were standing on was getting like progressively smaller because they were like pulling away bits of it.
Right. All right, maybe I'm mixing it up. So I remember Parv being there and talking about how smart guys are hot when he said that, when he was like, you always like, oh, this is why I'll never get a date. But long live Yule, as Reddit's, loves Yule. So do I. Oh, man. But yeah, I guess anything else about this episode? It's hard to chart the future because it's so murky after it.
Yeah. I think Dylan said that he thought that this was a good move for Liz. Do you think it's a good move for Liz, Brian?
I think she's got to do something.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I don't think going, the further you go in without getting any credit for anything, the more people just, compartmentalize you in their minds and like, oh, they're not doing anything, they're just along for the ride. Then you get the people who like get to the end and like win final immunity. Who's that? Was it in 44? What was her name? She won the final immunity and went into fire and won and then just still lost.
Heidi,
yes. Yeah. Well, you get into that position where like people have already made up their mind on you, where it's like you didn't do anything, you're not winning like the last minute thing. So like you don't want to be in the last spot. And I'm, you know, I think it's well established. I'm very much like you gotta play to win. And you can't let yourself get labeled as, you know, someone who's not playing to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's like, because, you know, I think this is comparable in some ways to what Tevin did to Soto last week. But I do think that difference is that Tevin was in a front runner position and was like kind of playing too cute in the situation.
Yeah.
Kind of coast. And here, like, Liz needed to kind of wrest some social control her way. So, yeah, with that, I do agree. But I am kind of worried now where she goes from here. Like, is she just kind of forced to work with Venus, or does she like try and like hitch her wagon to like one of the pairs? Or like, I don't know, because I feel like it's rough to vote out. Like, I understand the motivation to vote out somebody like Tevin, but it's rough when you're Liz to vote out somebody like Tevin, who is influencing the game generally in a direction that favored you in the short term. Like, now she really has to put in work to figure out how she is able to put those pieces together herself.
I think Liz said it herself that she despised the fact that she in her mind had started thinking of these moves and everybody else was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't think Liz really has much of anywhere to go unless we all of a sudden start seeing like a completely different player where she's now like more assertive and starting to like take over. Because I don't necessarily know if her, like I said earlier, everybody got so on board so quick. I don't think it's because she's like this great social personality in the game that we haven't seen yet. I think just more so people realized this was their chance to get a bigger threat out between Tiff and Tevin. And Tiff has an idol and can play it, so let's just go for Tevin. So I don't know. I still put her well towards the bottom right now with like Q and Venus at this point of who I think like their situation moving forward is.
Yeah, because if that's the case, what differentiates her from Venus other than like people like her marginally more?
Right. No, I mean, at least people are willing to consider her.
Yeah.
Plans where like it seems like people are just like dismissing Venus out of hand and just being like, I mean, you can be involved with the vote, but we're not going to listen to you as like the driving force behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it does feel like Liz was in this case, but Venus is like, she was in for it too, and like did, you know, I did respect when they were like, Venus, can we speak without you? And she was like, no. Like,
yeah, that was awesome. That scene.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm gonna break this shit up.
Yeah. Like, why would I let you do that? No.
Yeah.
Like, hilarious. Like, that is, you know, like queen shit as people are standing her. Like, I thought that was so funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of the thing too, right? Like what is, like, because Venus has basically got her way every time at this point. Like, she's like, she's got the outcome she wanted every single vote. And like, if that's happening when you really don't have any like very clear direct influence,
mm-hmm.
Like at what point does that become just like playing well accidentally? Like, I don't know. Like, right. It's very hard to like, it's very hard to evaluate her as a player because like, I don't know to like what degree she's actually doing these things on purpose, but like everything is going her way regardless of like intent or agency. So I don't know. And like, I don't see her being like, she is like being in the decoy boot a lot, but I don't really see her going home anytime soon.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll see. Little bit of being like a pawn in Big Brother, where it's like you're not gonna go home, but like,
yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah,
you know, we're all very okay saying you're the fake person to go home, or like, even if you're mad at me for putting you on the block, it's like whatever. I don't really care.
Is she the survivor version of like a BB16 Victoria?
Maybe. No, I can't say she's like Victoria.
Yeah,
Victoria,
well, yeah. After I said that, I was like, no, that doesn't really count.
Victoria was completely out to lunch.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Venus knows what's going on. Yeah, even if she's not like, even if she has less agency than she thinks she does, she like definitely knows what's going on way more than Victoria ever did.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I agree. That's a good comparison. Like, she is very much like the perpetual pawn in Big Brother.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, Tiff wanted her out this week, but we'll see what happens.
Look what's happened to all the people who have wanted her out before. It hasn't worked out great, so.
Yeah, you fuck with me, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know?
That's kind of like, you know, the Abby Mario comparison that we made, was it last week or the week before?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's all I got. I don't know if you guys have more.
No, I'm just skimming through this article with Tevin on Entertainment Weekly. There's really nothing that like stood out. I'm just basically saying that like he had gone to Liz before, saying that he felt like something was off, and Liz kept saying everything was fine, and that he was just a little surprised that Hunter didn't warn him before tribal.
Yeah, I'm surprised also that Hunter didn't at least warn him.
Yeah, I think we've all came to the agreement, right, that there was really no downside for Hunter to like at least just tell him play your shot in the dark.
Yep. Unless he was just completely in denial that it was happening, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Even if he was, right, like the options are either the votes are there or they aren't. Like, it's an even number.
It's yeah. Like,
it doesn't matter.
I'm trying to get to the point where they ask him about Q, because that was like the headline of the article. But there's no like clear outline, so we can just move on.
Yeah.
Well, you guys watching anything good these days other than Survivor?
Reality TV show wise, no. I'm on the finale of Fallout, which has taken the world by storm. It's a great show. Love it.
Really good.
Everything I've wanted it to be, much like many other people. I've started replaying Fallout 4, which is like turned into another meme on its own thing of like everybody is going to Fallout 4 instead of Fallout 76. Which kind of just like is like the whole story of 76 wrapped up, but no, I'm liking that. It's got more people in the Fallout, which is cool. I love that show, so it feels good to be back watching shows again like that. I'll probably watch the finale tonight, actually, but it's been two thumbs up. I recommend watching that. Walton Goggins is great in that. Everybody's just really, really good. The I think it's Ellie Purnell who plays Lucy in that, or Elle Purnell. She's really, really good. The guy that plays Maximus is really good. The humor in it's great. It's just it's pretty much as good as I had hoped for, and I think there's like so much room there in the following seasons to kind of get way more Fallout-y. I didn't even realize in the Fallout like timeline it is like the latest chapter of like canon stuff that we've gotten from Fallout. Yeah. Which is interesting. So definitely recommend that. But other than that, I haven't really been watching too much.
Yeah, I can, you know, exactly what Dylan said. Fallout is fucking awesome. If you're a fan of the show, I think you'll love it. Unless you're one of those weirdos who get mad about the most minute details being incorrect, which if that's the case, I can't really help you. Therapy would probably be your best choice there, but yeah, I loved it. And if you're also like me and you had Fallout 4 on PlayStation 4 and then you're just like, I'm gonna install it on my PS5, don't install the
Automatron.
Yeah, dude, it was messing my game up. I couldn't play. It was awful.
Crashes so, every time you boot up. I found that out the hard way and I had to reinstall it all over again. But,
yeah, same. So I want to save someone out there because I did the same thing. I was like, yeah, I'm going to play the DLC. And yeah, it didn't work. But yeah, great. I've been watching a few episodes of Shogun on FX. Really, really fucking good. Like, Game of Thrones season one level, like, good, and like so much political intrigue, and just a very like high quality show. Can't recommend that enough.
Nice. Yeah, I've just been following BBKN12. That's really it. I'm waiting for House of the Dragon season two. I'm not really following scripted shows right now that much, so that's gonna be probably the next one that I watch. I might check out Shogun though if I can.
Dude, you'll love it.
Yeah, I'll probably check it out at some point.
So good.
We're actually entering a really something we haven't had in a long time, and with TV shows since probably before COVID, we're entering like a really good stretch of Shogun's up there. I will be watching Shogun probably after I finish Fallout. We got Fallout, Shogun. We have The Boys coming back. House of the Dragon is coming back this summer. I believe there's one more show. I'm forgetting. That's a massive show that is also coming out soon. I think like the Penguin show comes out in the fall. I'm like very excited for that. Anything now in that Matt Reeves Batman universe, I'm just like all in on. And Colin Farrell is unbelievable as the Penguin. Just like a really, really great stretch of shows coming up. It's very exciting. There is a show I'm forgetting that's like a massive show that's coming out soon, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think as you're saying it, but I'm also drawing a blank as to what it could be.
It's just so exciting because between the writer's strike and everything that happened with COVID, with everything slowing down, it's just like we were so spoiled with how many shows were out at once at one time before that. And then now it's all starting to kind of happen again. I love movies. Going to movie theater is one of my favorite things to do, but like I think that television is the best storytelling medium that there is, and there's so many good shows out right now, so really excited for that. I'm excited to go start going week to week again. And Fallout just got renewed officially for season two today, which I doubt there was like ever a doubt, unless it was catastrophically bad, that they would do season two.
Right, but
that's exciting.
Yeah, and I saw an interview with Jonathan Nolan that he wants to finish Westworld somehow, so he's getting my hopes up. I don't know if it will happen. I'm hoping he's going to use the goodwill from Fallout to try to convince, you know, the powers that be to let him make a final season of Westworld or a movie or something. But apparently he hasn't even told Evan Rachel Wood the ending, because he's like, no, we're going to finish it.
Way more American than I thought. Not to get like all Wicked Good Show and take over the Blindsiders, but I saw an interview with Jonathan Nolan the other day, and he is not even remotely as British as his brother is, which is very interesting. He does feel slightly younger, so I do wonder if maybe there was some sort of like education, different countries situation going on. But I was like, I had to like double check that was actually Jonathan Nolan, because I actually don't know if I had ever heard him
right
before that.
Only in like Westworld. Like behind the episode things, have I
heard somebody naturally just like the brain of the internet putting two and two together that I never would have, of that two brothers in the same like calendar year both came out with movies involving dropping of atomic weapons. One about how it was created and why it's so bad, then the other one about what happens after it's dropped. So that's like a fun little dumb tidbit you can take and tell people around the water cooler.
Yeah, I love it. That's so funny though that he's so different from his, you know, but he's the TV guy. He's the down to earth man of the people type way. It's like
he's a blue collar Hollywood guy.
Right, yeah, blue collar Hollywood guy, exactly. I was excited. He was like, listen, I spent 10 years trying to get Interstellar like made. Like we had two different directors there, so like I'm not giving up on Westworld. And I was like, all right. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I know a lot of people gave up on Westworld, or like thought that it fell off hard, or like, you know, weren't happy with the seasons 2 and 3. But Brian and I were always on we've been with Westworld all the way through, and I was very annoyed that the show got canceled and the final season ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it set up like a cool like final season, and then canceled. It's like, fuck, okay.
Yep.
And now it's like not even on Max anymore.
Yeah, not the first time that's happened though, you know, to show like to kind of semi-niche shows that me and Ryan have
too. Right.
I had to check just out of pure curiosity, and Jonathan Nolan was raised in London, both London and Chicago, where Christopher Nolan was already like 6 or 7 by the time they started doing that. So that explained that kind of.
It wasn't like a parent trap situation where
one
raised in one was raised in Chicago. That'd be an interesting experiment. Identical twins raised one American, one in England.
Well, I just found out today, like I never really thought about this before. So I guess it's not really a thing you find out, but it's a thing that I'd like conceptualize in my mind. the idea of like identical twins being born in different days or different years, because like one is born at the like the last minutes of the day, and then the next one's born in the first minutes of the day.
Be interesting.
So,
what about like when there's triplets and one is an identical like twin pair, and then there's just like also the other one?
Can that happen?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I thought it was like I don't know. This is like a, you know, like a middle school, high
school, second. Because they can be fraternal twins, right?
Well, thought that I thought that there could be fraternal twins, but anything triplets and up was all identical.
Interesting.
But
that, I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. People be like, actually, you're an idiot. Which, like, yes, openly. Dumb. Yeah. Very dumb.
You can ask your in-house twin expert.
I know. I have to ask.
Yeah.
Just really, I don't know if a twin or not a triplet. I'm like, that's a good point. All right. All right. Well, this is we got over the 1 hour mark.
We vamped for 15 minutes at the end of the podcast, as usual.
I think it's fun. I think people like it. I don't know. No one has complained about it.
I like it.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
We just gotta bring Wicked Show back so we can just.
Give me the word, Dylan, and it's back. I pay for the feed still, even though I could switch it over to Anchor for free, but that's complicated. I'd fuck it up. I don't want to lose what we already have.
That episode where we discussed the Bagel Boss can't be lost.
Yeah, can't be lost. He might be lost, but. We can't
lose the ether of the universe.
Yeah, he's in internet lore. He's just out there somewhere. But
Oh yeah, 1 year ago, Rip Bagel Boss.
That's what we titled it.
Oh, hold on. With this comment, he suffered a shiro glass string, but he is not dead.
Dang, literally too mad to die.
Never know. Maybe that'll be our return episode. Is like a
dark perspective. You gotta find him.
Yeah. I do think, unfortunately, he started saying something that was like very anti-Semitic or like.
Oh, obviously, that was the what's the milkshake duck like meme? Like he was, he got famous for not a good reason to begin with, but you knew that was just gonna go worse and worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When what was it? Like Ken Bone, the guy who seemed like just a nice dude with a sweater asking like a polite question on TV, and he came out that he was like what was it? Is it like a child porn thing, or is it something else?
No, I don't think it was that. I think he did an AMA with his personal Reddit account.
Oh,
and people went through the post history, and like he had like posted about looking at the Fappening like leaks.
Oh, okay. It's not as bad. Not great, but still not much
like different. Like it's not child porn. So there's that, but very avoidable mistake in my opinion. Probably the last point in which someone could make a mistake like that. I think people are more wary of the internet now.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's really gone off the rails now. Rip Bagel Boss.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
Yeah, was it the Nathan for you, the Finding Francis or whatever? Like you guys should do like a Finding Francis episode trying to find Bagel Boss.
The biggest regret of our professional lives was not getting Gilbert Gottfried
he passed away.
Gary Campbell.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing cameos, so we could have paid for like the commercial cameo. Oh, sure.
I think it was like $100. It was
It was like reasonable. And in retrospect, it's like fuck, we could have like, you know,
had the last one.
Yeah, the last Gilbert Gottfried, his last credit,
and
just use it for years after his death to the point where it's like, is this a bad taste? Like, should they be doing this?
I think it's a bad taste to use it immediately after he dies, but I think like a week is a good amount of time. And then after a week, I think, you know, you paid for it, you might as well use it.
We were on it like 2 years before he died, so I think at that point, I think that we just got grandfathered in,
right? Yeah, if we had used it before,
yeah,
it would have been, or maybe particularly my luck that we got it and then he died. like perhaps after turning off the camera and sending the cameo, he immediately died. But yeah, that was disappointing that we didn't do that. Dylan, you're right. When you were like the biggest professional regret, I was like, I have so many. Where is this going?
Yeah. I guess that sounds like a plot of like a Curb episode. Is mm-hmm. like, you know, you pay $100, you get charged, and then like, you know, Gilbert Gottfried dies and he can't fulfill the cameo, and you're like trying to get your money back.
Right. Like, are you insensitive? And everyone's, be like, you're an asshole. Yeah. I mean, it's the principle.
I paid for a service I didn't get. I mean, come on.
This isn't a show. Actually, funny films for like charity.
Yeah.
Like the money went to charity.
It wasn't the show I was thinking of, but Curb being back too, and obviously the ending is another like big stretch of shows we currently have.
Crazy that it ended. I thought that was just gonna go forever until like Larry David died, but maybe
almost
like
almost right 27 years. So
yeah. I mean, actually crazy, it was 27 seasons, but it was like what, like 10 seasons
over? I think 11 or 12, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, good pace for him. When he wanted to work, he did, which can't hate that.
I wonder if he's doing cameos now. I mean, you can get him before
No chance. Absolutely no chance, Larry David.
I mean, maybe give it a year or two and like maybe he just gets bored.
I think he would absolutely despise reading cameos for people.
Yeah. Yeah, we do gotta figure out like a celebrity that would, you know, be funny to have them do it. You know, but
Coach is right there. You just get Coach. Who cares about views on the world? And you should just get Coach to do the read for this show.
Yeah, I was very disappointed when he apparently did the national anthem for a Bills game, but they didn't show it on TV.
He did it on like the violin, right? Or the trumpet, whatever it was.
Trumpet, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The world needs more Coach Wade. Season 50, maybe.
I don't know if it's
rumored like, legend season, which is definitely happening for sure, and not just right. Like a fabrication in the minds of fans.
Listen, Ben, Winners at War happens. Like, it's possible. Sure. Anything's possible.
True. Good.
That point. Was the season that I was like, never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even like think about it because it won't happen. And then it did happen. So
It was ruined.
Be careful what you wish for. BB22 as well. Mm-hmm. It was all-star season, horrible season.
Mm-hmm.
As Ben and I were on the podcast that literally the night before it came out, and we're like, there's no way this is a bad season with this cast. And I was like, wow, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Dylan, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, let's get out of here. Follow me on DJ Cleverlang on X and on Twitch. Yeah. We'll get Twitch figured out eventually. I'm not gonna keep promising things that I can't deliver to people, but eventually.
Ben, how about you?
You can follow me if you want. Don't bother though. I don't use the platform really. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, Venus is right, honestly, to delete. Like,
yeah,
I get it. And I'm not even on a base. I'm not even on a reality show getting judged by millions of strangers, and I'm constantly like 1 second away from being like, honestly, if my Twitter account wasn't started in 2007, which like I'd never see anyone's account like from that long ago, I probably would have just deleted it. But it's like, I want to hold on to the like joined in 2007. That's literally it. But yeah, I've been on that long and have like no followers, so if you want to follow me, help me out. Fake Bmarr, Bmarr. Yeah, and, you know, you guys know the rest. We can get everything, better radio, we can get sports, then I'm gonna get back. It's been busy, but the playoffs are starting, and I think the Celtics really do have a chance to win a title this year, and it'd be very fun to cover that happening, or at least like cover a deep playoff run again. So yeah, check that out, and yeah, we'll see you in the next one.